I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent.
Oh, what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you cool.
Supercoach 360 podcast.
It's crack-a-lacking. It's Tuesday. Welcome to Supercoach 360. I'm in the coach's caravan of courage with Bergs, Con, and of course, Louis. We're here to talk all things Supercoach, round 21, round 22, head-to-head finals, Trell, Munster, the big boys of the week, and heaps more. We're joined by Ross Mann and Brad Smith. We're going to peruse some team lists, and Brad's got a few players to look out for over the next few rounds. We're going to talk head-to-head. We're going to talk heaps of stuff. So, first things first, boys, are you still alive in your head-to-heads?
Oh, I'm going to take this one.
Yep.
I'm still alive in my one and only cashy.
Yep.
And I had the week off last week, so I got the save trades.
Yep.
Now I'm playing for a spot to go straight through into the grand final this week. So, yeah, two trades this week. Probably going to save them. See what my opponent's rocking. Maybe wait a game or two. See if I have to either copy or pot on, or maybe I can save the trades for another week.
Yeah, now, see, that's interesting. That's one of the things I'm thinking about. I'm still alive in my head-to-head. I've got a vastly different team to my opponent this week. I'm a bit worried about it, to be honest. I'm heavily stacked with Panthers players. Not that they would necessarily be trade options,
I think you got to look at it kind of like I personally look at a hand at Texas Hold'em. Pre-flop, you might as well buy in, see what they're rocking, because anything can happen. Pre-flop. Everyone's got their own two cards. Anything can happen after that turn. So it's kind of like Supercoach. With the 10 difference, anything can happen after those first two games, and you can be that far ahead or that far behind that you need to pot on, or you can save trades or copy captain or all kinds of things. Like, there's plenty of things to kind of think about with the head-to-head finals.
Well, that's it. Take me through, because I've never been in this position before, and well, I've got, I think, three trades.
I'm looking at it from a cash point perspective where I've got a second chance. If I lose this week, I've still got another chance next week.
You don't have that.
But, no, I don't. I'm right or die.
I don't want to rely on that second chance. So I want to go into this week, win it, go straight through to the grand final with a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look at what my opponent's doing for the first probably Thursday game. I'm going to use one trade, sorry, because substituting Tago's dual position is viable to one of my trades. So I have to use that one before Thursday because unfortunately Panthers play Thursday. But then I'm going to save my second trade, see what happens on the Thursday, Friday night, judge where I'm at, see if I have to use this trade or if I have to go a full pot option with that trade or if I can just bank that trade, save it for next week. And
it's an interesting one because you
don't have the luxury of that he has.
No.
You have to make right decisions. He
can still sit there if he doesn't have any clean straight out Storm or Panthers player.
I'm assuming May would be one of your ones that you're looking at get offloading.
I can't even substitute a player on my reserves. Can I still substitute them around once they're locked or are they locked
into
their position?
No, if you got Tago in centres and you want to trade out of Tarpany after Thursday, Tango's locked in the centres, you can't bring him up.
Yeah, I can't even substitute him. So
it does limit your options that way.
But for me,
I could probably work around that, to be honest, because I've still got the four playing centres.
Well, you can do what I do and just use that one trade to get Tarpany out, bring Tango up, bring in the centre, fullback, whatever you want.
See, I've already got Tango up.
And then save that other trade.
I was actually going to bring him back down and just move enough up there just so that way I've got him down in the centres. I don't know why. I think it was because I'm targeting a centre to bring in.
He's not a play this week, I don't think, Tango.
I don't know. Well, see, that's one of the other things about this week which makes these decisions so hard. It's a round of tough matchups. And the next few weeks are going to be like this. Head-to-head finals. Supercoach has got a big old twist this year in that, well, the players that most of us have in our teams have all got pretty tough draws.
Oh,
Cowboys and Sharks excluded, I think.
It's a broad... Well, even though you've got so many... But it's broadcaster's dream, Supercoach nightmare.
Yeah, because, you know, I've got...
All the top teams are just playing each other week in, week out, and it's...
I got six players in that first game, I think.
Yeah, well, a lot of people would be highly invested in that first game.
Six or seven, maybe even more. You know, like...
Kikau, Tango, May...
Yo,
Grant,
Munster.
Grant, Munster, that's it.
Appy's even out there.
Yeah, Appy. Appy's big owned.
I think Dylan Edwards is even...
Critter's a bit of a pod.
So, it is a big game, that Thursday one.
That's what I mean.
For me, you've really got to look at... Do you want to keep one or two of those dudes? Because you've got both May and Tago, don't
you?
No,
I offloaded May ages ago. Best thing I ever did.
All right. Well, for me, you could probably sit Tago if you didn't have to play him, but I don't know the makeup of your squad probably. But for me, Juzzy, you've got to make the moves this week, whereas Con, he still has a little bit of luxury. He just wants to assure himself the best possible
position. Yeah, well, that's it. I understand his strategy. So the question is, like, with these tough matchups, I've got three trades left. I was planning on using one trade per week and just sort of limiting myself to that. But now I'm like... Do I use the extra trade?
Well, have you looked at the Pigeons team? Have you looked at Jacko's team?
I have.
It's a good team. I've played it a couple of times in different leagues throughout the year this year, and he's done well all year, Jacko. He's very impressive Supercoach-wise this year.
You've obviously been listening to the podcast the last few years.
Heavily. He's done very well this year, and you've got a tough matchup, Juzzy, and that's what I'm saying. Like, as a podcast, we want you to do well. Pidge's out, mate. But as a podcast, we want to help you the best we can. And not saying we wouldn't do that for Jacko as well.
No, you're saying, fuck you, Pidge, and we... Yeah.
Players...
Probably runs a little bit drying up. He's still got a couple of good ones in there.
Yeah, he's got correct.
a bottom eight, bottom of the eight finisher.
100%.
You've got work to do.
Oh, I've got to play every game and win every game.
It's not impossible to be done. Like, so, I've seen it done countless times where eighth position comes all the way home and takes the cookies, because it's super coaches. We know from past years, we all know, you can be riding high with the flushest team. Next thing you know, the rest of the day, the next 3 weeks, you're sitting there playing 15s and 14s and there's nothing you can do.
Not just that. We've seen where players have been sitting in the top 100 overall, struggling to make an eight in the top in a head-to-head league.
Yeah, yeah.
But clearly they got the best team overall, but everyone's just having a good week, or they're just having that little off week against them. But once push comes to shove, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah. And that's why I come, like, 20th in everything this year. Sorry, guys. Let us down as a podcast and all the seeded leagues.
Right, mate.
So I feel like we've talked about it, but I still have no idea what I'm going to do, and I don't know if I've learned anything. Yeah, I'm really worried about this week, and I've got no idea what to do.
I mean, unless the Storm or Panthers players are involved in your trades, you save the two trades, have a look, see what his team looks like compared to yours on actual game day. See what Thursday night produces for each of yous. And then reassess
Friday
and judge accordingly after that.
Because, yeah, you might have to make them two trades after game one. You don't know. But, like he said, if someone comes out and does a tarp and he gets knocked out, gets a four, that puts you in a good stead. You know, it puts you virtually a player in front.
Well, let's just say this.
Hypothetically,
he captains Munster scores 22. Then you look there and you think, well, I'll probably save these two trades at least until Saturday ish kind of thing, and then reassess after Saturday or halfway through Super Saturday. And, but yeah, I think you just got to play it by ear at this time of year,
but you also got to be on top of it. Can't be going to no family barbecues and checking your phone at 9 o'clock and go, oh, fuck.
Mm.
I've messed this up. Because you got to remember there's two G's on the line. Like, that's a good little thing, you know. It's a good pocket. So, if I'm you, I'm focused as much as I can over. That's for everyone that's in cashies out there. Focus as much on as you can on what's going on at the football and what your opponent's doing. Because you got to remember, they're probably playing with tactics as well. They're probably saving their trades till the very last minute that they have to use them, and they're watching your squad. Assume that they are. Assume that they're better than us.
If you know them, you know? Take them out, get them drunk, and suggest wild things to them.
How's that worked for you in the past, Con?
Oh, bro, yeah.
Gregory's got Connor quite a few times. Don't you worry about that. He hasn't screwed over any opponents, but he's got me a few times.
I love how he's like, get your mates, go out and drink. And he's like, get my alter ego, stay home and
all
drink.
All right, just quickly, while we're talking head-to-head still, is there anyone you would specifically target this week or next?
Well, first one, Mulitalo.
Ronaldo.
Now, you've been saying this for weeks. Do we do it? Do we pull the trigger on old Ronaldo?
I'll pull the trigger this week.
Yeah.
I think this is the week to do it. He's, what, $410,000?
Something like that, yeah.
So if you've got someone like an Isaiah Tass or someone, which is an $8,000 swap to Ronaldo with a run home, South run home, my opinion is a no-brainer. Get on board.
He's without the tries, he's very...
40-ish.
He's a 40-ish, which, dang it, he's not bad.
What does Tango and May do without tries and shit?
Yeah, it's true. That's why.
30 to 40.
I don't like, have either of those.
There's not many backs without tries that go 70.
Yeah, it's 40 for a back, you know, without tries.
Even Toto this year is not pushing a 60 base like he was last year. Like, a 50 base for a back this year is pretty outstanding.
Well, they're spreading the love a lot this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, There is a couple to look at over the next coming weeks. So if I wasn't a Reuben Cotter owner, I'd probably look at Reuben Cotter. I'm an owner, so it's not an issue for me. But if you
had Tarpany and you're looking to go somewhere, I think Reuben's going to continue his 80 minutes from when he was pre-injury, pumping out those 70s at least every week.
Well, he looked good last week coming back, and he's played some good minutes. So,
and they're going to want him doing his proper role come finals time.
Well, for me, he's now a headache because I've got him up at hooker, so him and Harry Grant are locked in. I've got two hookers playing, two fullbacks playing every week.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. No, it's not.
If you can have four quality spine players playing every week, that's gold. If you don't have to use a forward or a centre wing as a reserve, you're in a really good situation, I think.
They do have, oh, he has, yeah, well, he's got the solid base. That's the difference between him and, well, Harry was getting 50s of tries, so, up until last week.
Well, that, alarming. Like, everyone's probably going to run with Harry, like, a lot of people, are going to run with Harry, but that's probably the difference between the Cook and the Cotter. Cook's got that big ceiling, but he can punch out that 45, 50, where Cotter, I think,
70s
once he's
all
locked
the way
in at 80 minutes from now on, he's going to be 65 plus every single week. Where he could go that 100 plus if he jags a try. He's not going to go, he won 70, 180 like a Cook possibly could. He hasn't, but there's always that chance, especially if Murray plays like he did in that first 30 minutes of last week. Jesus Christ. He was on fire.
Yeah. I think we do touch on some other targets for head to head with the boys later in a chat. Trades this week, just quickly, because we didn't touch on it with the boys. Now, you're looking at Trell's run, and like you were sad you didn't jump on when you wanted to, but now you said if you were owner, you'd probably maybe think about getting rid of. What's in that?
Well, I just think his run's come to an end. I know the word of the mouth is he's match-up proof at the moment, but if you go back and actually look a bit into it, he played a Melbourne Storm in shit form that we're getting carved up on their right-hand side, which is South's strong side, their left.
Yeah.
So that was a walk in the park for him. And then the other quality team that he played was Parramatta, who were also
depleted,
in not great form at that time. It was around the origin period, and shit wasn't really working for them. He came out and cleaned them up too. And apart from that, I think the other three teams, or four teams that he played, have been bottom four, bottom six opposition.
Yeah.
So,
but really, it'll be the true test of the next coming weeks.
Well, he plays, I think, Louis could probably tell me more than this, but I think Parramatta, Storm, Cowboys, Roosters over the next 4 weeks.
That's the Rabbitohs, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so those first three, they're in pretty red-hot form at the moment. Not red-hot, I wouldn't say. Storm defensively weak. Parramatta, depends which fucking one turn up. Cowboys solid.
Yeah.
But I think by the time round 25 comes, Roosters will be clicking and trotting. And
well, they've started already. They're starting to look
shit
good
will
now,
be
yeah.
going down for there. So, all in all, I wouldn't like to have that run home. It's going to harden them up for finals time, and they're going to be very well prepared come that elimination finals time. But it's going to take a lot out of them at the same time. Yeah. It's a tough run.
It is.
Place targeting, I believe, is what we were talking about.
Yeah, I just went down to, because I thought with the money that Trell's made, you can near go anywhere. You know, he's near at top dollar. You could bring in anyone you virtually wanted for Trell's money, but it's a matter of do you run the gamble that he is just going to score 70 or sub, hopefully.
There wouldn't be a sane coach out there that'd agree me just selling him.
No, but I see the merit in the draw that you're talking about. Like, every one of these teams that have to play next couple of weeks are fighting for a specific spot, and Melbourne wants top four.
Cowboys want top four. Cowboys want top two.
You know what I mean? Like, every one of them wants a spot. So, Souths don't have that easy game where someone's going to give up. Even if they would fly out and put a quick 20 on, I don't think the teams that they would play against would think 20's enough and they'll grind it out.
Counter that, you'd say if South put a quick 20 on, Charles probably got 80 points.
Not necessarily. It could be Cody Walker's time. He hasn't done shit for 6 weeks or something. Sorry, Cody. Love you, bros. But, yeah, you know how it gets.
Yeah, I know.
It's that super coaching, mate. Like, and you know what? Could be the master stroke that carries someone up, or it could be the capitulation of the team.
Well, speaking of master strokes that can carry people up, Brad Smith and Ross Mann got together with you two boys for a chat before the show tonight.
That's capitulation.
Why don't we go have a chat with those boys, or hear the chat with those boys, and see what they have to say, because I'm curious. I haven't even heard this chat yet, so I'm curious to see what you guys talked about and who's Brad's sort of plays to target over the next few weeks.
No, it was a good chat. Good chat.
All right, boys, how are we this week? Massive week, head-to-head finals if you made it through, if you're one of the lucky ones, or you had the week off last week. Did you build for this week? Like Con, did he, or did he not? So, boys, how's the week going for you?
Not a great week. Not a great round at all. Didn't have Trell, didn't have Murray, didn't have Harry Grant or any one of those other ones that went big, or Lane or anyone else, and had a shocker this week, absolute shocker. So, dropped back about 4,000 spots, and yeah, not good.
Coach Life, Brad, eh? What about you, mate? How you been?
Yeah, I got about 1430, which at this time of year for head-to-heads, get me in most of them. I think there's only a couple
Captain
of them.
Or Luke?
Yeah, vice captain. I went to Luke, which in the end, I actually had the captain on Trell. So I took it off Trell to go into Munster. So that sort of hurt me, but not by much. I mean, they basically finished the same. The only problem was, is of course, you're stuck with that, you know, AE, which I think probably would have been about the same anyway, because the bench is pretty strong.
Yeah, yeah. All right, boys. So this week, I want to chat to you about head-to-heads, what you're going to do going forward, if you want to divulge the information, that is. But there's a lot to look forward into the future too, like with your head-to-heads going forward. You don't want to end up with the same players, and it's blokes like you who crunch the numbers and know where to go. So what are we looking at, fellas?
All right, well, I guess I'll kick her off. Just with my head-to-head, I really wanted to it's important at this time of year that you have a good look at the draw, because you want to be getting players that are going to perform on that particular week in which you've got your head-to-head battle. So, I mean, there's three games that really stand out. Sharks versus Tigers, you know, just about anybody in that Sharks back line is pretty good property, really. And having a look at the Tigers team today, yeah, definitely you've got to target it. If you got Sharks players, you need to play them. Or if you got trades, get one in.
The next 3 weeks, like all throughout head-to-head finals, their draw is pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there one of them
that's
a pod, though?
Well, I mean, I had a real good look at Ramian. Now, Ramian's 615K, so he's pretty expensive. Yeah. But it's on Acorn.
he's had his little 15 minutes of fame, those four rounds there where he killed it. Now, that's what he's attacking.
Let's have a think about this. He's got a five-round average of 73. And give me too many players that are... You need to jump on these players when they're on the up, not when they're on the down.
He's on the down now, but Bradder. But is he with the draw? You just said yourself that draw's juicing right up. And he was the only outside back out of Katoa, Ronaldo and Talakai who found the attacking stats in those hard games.
But is that
when they had the cruisy runs, Ramian never seems to find an attacking stat. I don't know what it is. He's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from him, but he just can't find an attacking stat when the Sharks are cruising and scoring points at will.
Well, he hates to pass the ball, which is excellent. Absolutely. That's fucking excellent for Supercoach. That's what you want in your Supercoach. A bloke that won't pass the ball because he's going to crash over occasionally, you know. I don't know. You know, only 2% of teams. That's in pod territory.
Just in his price over 600K, like you said, and Ronaldo, Talakai and Katoa all under 500K, I see so much more value in those three over Ramian.
Well, at this time of year, money really isn't the issue, I don't think. You should be pretty well flushed with money. So for 600, 500 is nothing.
But if you've got four trades and you can save 140,000 on this trade, that could change that next trade you make drastically from going to a absolute weapon.
I see the value in Ramian, especially if he has turned around and he's picked his socks up. If the Sharks want to be contenders, then he has to be doing these runs in all these games, not just occasionally, you know.
I own Talakai. Well, I did own Talakai. I'm actually gonna sell Talakai. I know they've got a good draw coming up, but I'm just sick and tired of holding on to him. Like that left side is not getting any ball. Wade Graham is a hog and he doesn't pass the ball. And I'm just going to sell him this week. I've had enough. I mean, draw, good draw, no good draw. He's out of my team. I'm going to hang on to Mulatalo, but Talakai's gone for me this week. Can't do it any longer.
The biggest thing last week was no Matty Moylan, I think.
Yeah, but Matty Moylan's not playing this week either.
That's what I mean. Trindle didn't help get the ball to those outside.
That's what
men.
I'm saying. And Wade Graham doesn't pass. That's the problem. They're not getting any ball. I just can't justify keeping him in the team when I can bring someone like Cam Murray in who's going to pump me out a decent score every single week.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, if South want to go deep, they need Cam Murray to be fit and doing what he does. Yeah. So
it's all about the base versus the ceiling.
I feel he's got
the Talakai hasn't got the base. He got hooked after 70 minutes last week and for 25 points.
Where you're going to get your 65, 70 each week.
Yeah.
I feel Talakai's got the higher ceiling than Murray if he has one of those games like he did against Manly.
He hasn't had that for a long time, unfortunately. He's been rubbish. But anyway, we'll keep going. Who else you got, Brad?
Well, I'll give you one more thing to think about with Ramian, and you know I love my points per minute, but believe it or not, his points per minute are 0.8, which is, for a back, very, very good. And that's actually better than Talakai. It's better than the other backs. So that means that he's got a slight base. He doesn't have a huge base, but he's actually got a little bit of a base.
Raymond's got a massive base. He averages like nearly 50 in power and base stats a week. It's just his attacking stats that's letting down over the last couple of years. If you could put an offload in the bloke, he'd be excellent. But he just tucks it and goes. But to his credit, he breaks 3-4 tackles, man, every time he runs the ball.
Yeah.
He's a demon.
Well, the other two games, I sort of had a little glance at the Broncos versus the Knights, but I think the Knights the Broncos would be really good. If you've got a Bronco this week, play them, because the Knights team, they're running my eye over it. It's fair dinkum. I think there's a couple of New South Wales Cup teams that could probably give the Knights a run for their money.
Whoa. They beat Tigers last week.
Right. And no Barnett, who rips out 60 tackles. Up against the Broncos at home. The Broncos are at home. But anyway, I don't think it might not be too relevant because the Broncos, I think, have got the Storm next weekend, which, you know, might not be one to bring in. So the other game that looks really juicy is the Raiders versus the Dragons. Now, Raiders are really hard to find an attacking stat, but there are, which it goes against some of my advice earlier in the year, there is a couple of forwards that are really looking quite juicy. Now, with Tapine out, that means that your likes of Elliott, who until the last couple of weeks had been going gangbusters and averaging over 80, and the other one is Hudson Young at 550K, averaging 72 over the last five rounds. Only 1.6% owned, you know, that's, you know, wow, 72 average for five rounds. You're playing 80 minutes every single week. 1.5 points per minute as an average two over that short period. 1.6 last week of points per minute. Yeah, he's if you're looking for a pod that's going to get big minutes and should have a great game against St. George, who I think is going to be a bit lacking, particularly now that Sims is out as well. I wouldn't mind that trade at all. He doesn't have a huge ceiling, but if you're after a solid number, it's going to get you like 80 points or something.
I like Hudson Young. I like him, but I looked at him and his last four games, he's gone 40, 35, 125 and then 56. So there's three really subpar games in there, and then just one good game that brings his average right up, kind of thing. But like him. I think he's a great player. He's got a lot of stupid shit in his game, but he's a good player.
What do you think with Tapine out? And he definitely, you think he'll get a bit more?
Well, he plays on the edge. He plays 80 every week. I can't see it really affecting his game too much. I'd say the big winner in that is Josh Papali'i and Elliott.
Yeah, I was about to say Elliott in the middle. What do you think there? Yeah.
Well, they got Gula. They got Emma Gula's been named to replace Tarpany at prop. So
he's not going to give him 60 minutes of quality like Tarpany. He's not going to get 40 out of him. So there's 20 minutes there to go to Elliott or Papali'i.
I think if you have a look at Emre Gula's stats and when he starts, I think they're okay.
They are. His points per minute is good, but.
I think he goes okay when he starts.
And you wouldn't bring him in though.
There's he gets a bit gassed after 30 minutes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Could be back on the bench next week.
That's it. Like Ross said, Tarpany could be needed up and playing next week, and all of this could mean bugger all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Raiders draw home. I think the Raiders have got a good draw home, to be honest with you. And but the problem is that there's none of their backs are any good to jump on. There's no one worth jumping on that team.
Rapana has a go.
If you wanted a pod to replace Cleary, if you're still hanging on to Cleary at the moment, I don't mind Fogarty is a bit of a pod, but other than that, there's no one else in that team I really like.
I think Benny Hunt's in front of Fogarty, and I think who's the other one we talked about today? Cherry and someone else probably just in front of Fogarty, on pedigree.
Well, surely if you've got the jewels, Burton's got to be your one.
Dogs have got a good draw home too.
I like Burton if you can use your jewels and get him down there.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, what do you say about him and the Fox have done mad combo in the last few weeks? So
last 2 months, probably.
Yeah, they've looked really good together.
Yeah,
I think Freddie will be looking at that one.
What else you got, Brad? Anything else?
Well, what do you reckon? If you got the Drulsbergs, you reckon that you should be going Grinky or Burton?
For me, I think too many people have got Grinky, so Burton's probably your look in there. Especially if you're trying to go that other way to everyone else, I think Grinky's not so pottish, if you know what I mean. And Birdo, sometimes his kicking game, that's the thing. He's let down. It goes a bit too far or something like that. That's the only worrying thing, but he gets it back now with the kicking duty. So I like him. We're scoring points as well, which is rare for us. So he's getting a few goal kicking points a week as well. So
yeah,
I like Drinky, but he just the fact that once Kyle Felt comes back and Hammer goes back to the bench, it worries me that if he has another bad game, that he might get hooked again. That's the thing. And you look at the game on the weekend, he was on 10 points after 30 minutes and tunned up. I like Drinkwater, but I like Burton as a pod too. I did look at Burton a few weeks ago at getting him in, but I ended up going Dylan Brown instead, which I'm pretty happy with. But I don't hate either, really, to be honest with you.
Well, the Bulldogs play the Eels and the Sharks in the next two, which is going to be your head-to-head preliminary final and grand final. Do you really want a Bulldogs Matt Burton up against an Eels or a Sharks who are playing for a top four spot? I don't. I'd take Drinkwater every day of the week just because the Cowboys are a much better team.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. All right, what else we got? You going to quickly run through the team we saw today?
Just one more pot I want to throw in there. And obviously he doesn't have the ceiling of the other players, but he's really good price. I like his Nat Butcher too as well. He's not very highly owned either. He's only about 450K and he's been punching out some decent scores since he's been starting too.
Well, I owned him through the origin period.
Yeah.
He was okay. I think he got knocked out twice.
I don't mind him as an option. Sean Lane's another good option too, I reckon too. Been punching out some decent scores as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't take that away from him.
Yeah.
I've rubbished him in past. I've owned him too.
Well, Supercoach-wise, I think you'll find he's about the form second rower or edge second rower in Nikon. He's just about the form one there. Supercoach-wise, I think he's got more points than anybody over the last, last 8 weeks or so, 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, he's done very well. He seems to be their weapon, you know.
Yeah, he's running fifth for a 5-round average behind Nenai, Murray, Kalamatangi, and IPAT.
Colin Matangi. Oh, well, that might be the point.
He had that monster game on the weekend, which brought him right up. And he turned up the other week as well. Yeah. He got 111 the other week.
Yeah, I just like Lane as a pod. Yeah, I think he's good.
Yeah.
All right, you want to pump through the team list for us, Roscoe?
Yeah, I'll go through it quickly. Do you want to go through the whole thing or just go through the relevant sort of Supercoach players? Yeah. All right, so first game we've got Panthers against the Storm. So you've got Matt Eisenhuth replacing JFH, who's out suspended. And then you've got Kikau, who's been named on the extended bench after being a laid out last week. For the Storm, Cooper Johns replaces Jerome Hughes, who's out injured. Cameron Munster shifts back to 5'8". Nick Meaney returns to fullback. And Justin Ollam returns from COVID, replacing Young T. The Warriors and the Dogs, there's not much really relevant there, to be honest with you. TPJ's out for family reasons, replaced by Mariner.
Just back on that last game, sorry, Roscoe. Yep. I wouldn't expect the Panthers to risk kicks.
I believe Tyron May's in doubt too. Apparently he's been in a sling this week too. He's been named, but there's a good chance that he may get rested this week too as well.
He's rested from the Penguins anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. And then Eels and South. Matto's been named despite his HIA last week, but keep an eye out for final teams for that because he could be laid out. For South, there's nothing really anything there. And then for the Cowboys, you got against the Roosters, you got Ruben Cotter returning to the starting side this week as well. And then the Tigers versus the Sharks. The only thing that's really there is Lachlan Miller's replacing Connor Tracy on the wing. And Moylan's still out, so Trindle starts at 5'8" again. The other one's a bit super coach relevant because Dale Funakane's back from suspension, so Cam McInnes drops back to the bench as well. And then Broncos versus Knights, you've got TMM back into the team replacing Tessie New. And for the Knights, David Clemmer's back in the team. And Mitch Barnett's out, he's out injured, so Matt Croker's replacing him at lock. And then for the Raiders. What's that?
Is he out injured?
Mitch Barnett's out with a thumb injury or something, apparently. Yeah, that's what they've got Barnett's injured. And then for Raiders versus the Dragons, Tarpany's obviously out with his rib injury, so Gula's named to start replace him at prop. And Savage is back in at fullback with Hopper Whitey replacing Nick Kotrick, who's out suspended on the wing. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it, just briefly on teams. There's no one else that's really super coach relevant, so that's it.
Yeah. So Jerome Hughes and Tarpany really are the big ones to take out.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people brought in for Nathan Cleary last week, unfortunately.
I did say on the pod, the other pod that I did last week, that I didn't like Hughes as a replacement, but there wasn't many other options on the Tragics pod last week.
Can we find that? Where can people find you on that?
On Facebook. Yeah. General Supercoach Tragics on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, but it's on Spotify and shit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all on Spotify and everything too, yeah. It's all on there as well, yeah. And that's it. That's pretty much all the relevant for teams for this week.
Well, gentlemen, anything else you just want to touch on or anything like that?
No, not really. Just good luck, everybody, with their head-to-head battles. Just watch out, as we said, with really watch the matchups that are going to be presented there.
It's a tough week for a captain this week. I saw it about a quick glance, and Nico Hines, the walk-up star.
Nico Hines will probably be about 40-50% captain this week at least, I reckon. There's the VC options. The VC for options for this week aren't great. I did have a look at some of them over, and I don't even think I'll bother. I'll put something on the VC, but I don't think anyone will be looping at all this week.
The biggest friendly game for that's probably the Broncos one. And unfortunately, they don't really have any outstanding Supercoach scorer where you can throw the VC on.
No. I'll probably just put mine on Munster or get Munster, but I don't think I'll be looping anything with him. So, yeah, I'll just stick with Hines like everyone else is pretty much going to be doing, I think, against the Tigers.
Yeah.
That Penrith game, who's the home team on the Penrith-Melbourne game?
Penrith at home.
Hmm. Yeah, they're such super coach killers, Penrith and Melbourne. Yeah, you know, either team are gonna. Yeah,
no. I know that worries that worries me. That worries me about this week too, because I've got to play May and Targo this week, and I don't really want to play either of them, to be honest with you. Against the Storm.
Quick question, guys. With squads being the way they are now, like everyone's pretty much full strength. There's not many AE nightmares floating around. Is this a good occasion to use Nico Hines as a vice captain, knowing you pretty much got a free loop where you can, if there's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Depends on your AEs, really. I mean, I know nothing a lot of teams are still.
If you've already got a strong 21 or 22 or whatever, and there's no AE nightmares in there, can you now start to look at a loop as a free loop kind of thing?
You should be able to. Yeah. You should be able to. Especially if your bench is your lowest bench, he's a 50-odd, you know what I mean, which is fucking great. And you're only taking
I don't know if I'd be doing it this week, to be honest with you. The only reason why I say that is that there's not really any other good options for see if other Nico Hines this week. Because after the Sharks game, you've got Broncos, Newcastle, Canberra, Dragons and Titans versus Manly. So there's really not no one to... The captain after Hines.
Garrick against Titans, pretty juicy. Maybe.
If you own him.
I'm bringing him in this week just for that, so I can win my head-to-head matchup.
Jeez, he's just off watch that. Your team list there, because it could be his hip flexor injury or whatever. I'd be careful. Yeah,
that's why I've stayed up for the last 5 weeks or so, Brad. And now I've just decided to bring him in for some reason to match Pat.
I'm playing him myself, but I'm worried that he's going to be ruled out at last minute. That Des will bloody put Cooler back to fullback, and you know, just seeing how Gutho ran around him last week so easily, and that's not normal for Garrick. He doesn't normally get run around like that.
Gutho is a speed demon.
Yeah,
not on football field. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oops. All right, we better wrap that up so we can get set up for the party. Thanks for that, boys.
All right, guys. Later, boys.
If anyone's looking, find the write-ups from the boys on supercoach360.com. Yep. Cheers, lads. Cheers.
Beautiful, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
See you, boys.
Bye.
Can't go wrong with the boys. They always give us the best that they've got. Brado's been pretty on point all year. Con does love to throw some judgment his way. So we're going to go straight there with the Ramian pick. You weren't sold on Ramian as sold as Brad. You had stats to bring up. I think Ramian's last.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
3 games have been all under 40.
I think it was 48, 38, 36.
So they're pretty...
So he's not peaking.
But that was through his low run.
It was through
without
the
attacking stats against his tough run. Now his run opens up for the way home.
I don't look. I said on the on the thing. I don't mind it, but Con has showed me his stats there, and they're a little bit alarming. They're hot and cold. You know what I mean? Like, so he does have that. They went on that run where he scored tries where he's never really done that before. So that was where he's. Inflated average came from, I think.
Yeah, well, he had that good run where he played Storm around 17. Origin depleted. He got that 133, which boosted his 5-round average right up there. And then he played Penrith round 9, Cowboys round 18 after Origin, where they arrested Bulk. He's got that 99. And then from then on, he's played Penrith, who haven't been full strength, for a 48, South Sydney for a 36, and then the Dragons for a 38. So, we all know Jesse Ramien. He's averaged maybe 4-5, if he's very, very lucky, tries over the last so many years, about the same line breaks. He's not a big assister because he's not a big passer.
Well, the thing with that is he commands pretty much two defenders to stop him. So they just go straight out the back to an unmarked Katoa half the time, you know?
And that's what I mean. Like, and those two, 133-99, before that was a 50-35-53. So yeah. His base is great, but he just lacks the attacking stats way too much for myself. I'd rather go for $100,000 cheaper. $150,000 cheaper Ronaldo,
yeah,
or Talakai, or even Katoa.
Yeah.
So Talakai. Talakai's an interesting one. A couple of low scores recently too.
Well, I think Roscoe's selling. Roscoe's about to sell.
Well, that's so. What I was thinking. Like, I mean, do you jump on or are you jumping off?
Well, this is the time I've been waiting for.
I mean, like, see, I sold him mid-season at his, well, just under his price peak, if you remember correctly. I was spilling that you guys talked me into the extra week. I lost 100K out of it. But now it's like, well, hold on. If that run is opening up, the points are going to come down that left-hand side.
Well, about
so Talakai or Mulasalo, it's got to be one of the ones to get him.
Well, before they had this hard run and the origin shit, that Ronaldo and Talakai, they were killing it. Absolutely braining it down that left side. Even Moylan. People yeah.
now
strangely considering him for Supercoach. It's like,
I mean, we
shit.
Were,
that's
weren't
how,
we?
That's how good that left-hand side was going.
But that being said...
And then...
Is Moylan being out going to affect this?
Well, Moylan will be back next week. But I don't think so. I think
Trindle's pretty good.
In that first half last week, Trindle was awesome.
Yeah.
I think your problem's Graham.
Put himself in the back pocket in the second half. Just with the quality of opposition, right-hand side defence that they're coming up against and just their quality, I think Ronaldo and Talakai will return to... pre-round 13 scoring and
all right.
absolutely brain it. And you get them at a juicy bargain.
Well, so who's the more juicy of the two? Do you look at Talakai with the jewel or do you think
Ronaldo's
got the more opportunity for a hat-trick?
I've gone Ronaldo personally just because...
See, I want the dry scorers. That's my goal.
That's it.
Mulatalo was part of the dream team, I remember, because I remember the run that he went on the end of last season too. Just absolutely brained it. He lost a little lot of cash.
No, he didn't.
No,
I brought him in at the end of last year.
His last five games, he done terrible.
And then he was killing it. And he went,
oh, fell off a cliff.
But yeah, that's why he was so cheap at the start of this year. But the thing with Talakai is he plays that position inside and he doesn't love to pass the ball. So he's either running and scoring himself or he's running trying to score himself like Jesse Ramey and then getting that late offload or... flick passway or whatever to Ronaldo. So you could see Talakai as the better buy, or you could see Moylan coming back or Trindle using his half skills and just cutting Talakai out, going straight to
decoying Talakai.
Which is the same drama they got with Ramey on the other side. He just breaks tackles. Like, you need nearly two blokes every time.
Well, that's the same as Talakai.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
obviously
the Shark system. That's
and
what they want in their centres.
Like, I didn't get a huge gauge on the way Dykes played last week. He seemed to be more of a support player through the middle than that sweeping fullback player from what I've seen. But Sharks didn't get much opportunity to show it. But I guess it depends on when the Sharks are on the front foot. Does Dykes come in and play that Will Kennedy role where he mainly comes in on the right-hand side? Or does he play that sweeping role both ways and cut out that centre back row and hit the wingers?
Ronaldo.
For me, I'd look at Ronaldo just because he's got the highest ceiling, I think.
Louis?
Yeah, I'd probably go Ronaldo. I've got Talakai on my team and, yeah.
Would you sell? I mean, do you not have traits?
One trade.
What are you thinking about doing with it?
I was tossing up possibly going Talakai to Ronaldo. Then at the same time, I was like, no, I'll probably go Aitken to Ronaldo.
Yeah.
or Tass Ronaldo.
So either way, you want Ronaldo in your team this week.
Either that or possibly looking at trading out David Fifita to
anyone.
I don't know.
Can you go to Ronaldo via Jules?
Why would you trade out David Fifita?
Because he's been bitterly underwhelmed.
He's had...
Fuck, Lou, tell us how you really feel, bro.
He's fucking lazy.
This is his first week under 50, isn't it?
I don't know. I got off him ages ago.
If I'm not sure, it could even be his first week under, like, 65. Like, he's done fuck all since he's been back, but he's averaging, well, I'd have to say closer to 65, 70.
Well, would you... Okay, here's the situation. Would...
I wouldn't trade Dave Feary. I'd be trading one of those other.
Maybe a Jai Arrow? No. He gets the base stats.
Jai Arrow would definitely be going out of my team before Dave Feary.
If I'm you personally, I don't trade this week. You got your week off.
I've got the week off, yeah.
You anything can happen 100%. This week. There's look, if you've got money. Even just 100K on the case Ronaldo gets 150 this week and you really need to have him next week, you'll have your money there.
I think
if you're in the head-to-head finals, in the head-to-head finals, I think you need to hang on to those trades, like, because you can't go buy some off eBay.
You don't know what's going to happen. Injuries are just...
A COVID strike. Anything can happen from here to there and you're burning your trade this week for what? You're not playing anyone. I know overall something, but whatever. You can make that back up next week or the week after.
Well, you can't if you're in for overall at this point, but are you still in for overall?
No, no, no.
Like, it's just straight out head to head at this point.
That's if I'm you, I hang on to them trades, bro. That's just me. You do what you do, you. You're way better off this year than I am, but I'll hang on to that trade.
It's not just you. It's at this time of year, you got to weigh up two things. Either you're playing for these head-to-head leagues to win these head-to-head leagues, or you're playing to come 900th and 47th and get a key ring.
For $2 from China.
Cool. Like, if you're in cash leagues, I think they should be highly dominated over coming...
A hug league?
Coming 900th, like, yeah, to win a key ring for argument's sake. Like, who gives a... At the end of the day.
Especially if it's a high paying
cashy. Well, if you're in a cash league that's like $2,000 or whatever, is a key ring worth $2,000 to say, hey, I come top 1,000?
Yeah. I didn't come first.
But I come top 1,000. But so, yeah, that's what you got to weigh up at the end of the day. You got to either swallow your pride and just chase those head-to-head things or go for your top ranking... thing. And
don't get me wrong, if you're in the race and you
if you're
in the race, then you keep racing.
If you're top 10, like within 100 and 200, 300 points or whatever of the lead, absolutely. But if you're 947th and 780 points off the lead with two rounds to go, like,
fuck it, bro.
Maybe it's time to
get on your head to headers,
just win some cash, man. Like, take home something,
yeah.
All right, just other matchups quickly while we're talking. Young and Elliot both look primed to take some points if Tarpany's out for an extended period. I heard he's probably needled up next week, but...
I'll mention Brad. I think Elliot and Big Josh, Big Papa, in the middle, that'll be more benefits. Hudson plays 80 minutes on the edge anyway. Like, nothing's going to change there. He's going to get his base. If he gets attacking stats, great. But it'll be more Elliot and Big Papa. It'll benefit there.
Yeah. Now, just quickly before we finish on what we chatted on in there. Now, the marquee players. Now, they're the reason you captain them. They're the blokes that can score 100 points in 6 minutes. Like Pappy did that time. It was 6 minutes to go and he scored 100 points. These are the blokes you bring in. Like, you brought them in. They're your marquee players. Like, they're your captain choices. Like, I was going somewhere with that.
Who's your list of those players? Because you're right. Like, we've all seen those players, right? Like, where they just, it looks like they've done nothing all game, and then all of a sudden, bang, they just skyrocket.
Or
they do 10 minutes of work at the start of the game and then disappear, you know, or play for the first half and then they don't go anywhere after that. Like,
oh, there's a couple prime examples of that where, like we mentioned earlier, the Paps, where he's on fuck all after 75 minutes, and in 4 minutes he scored 2 tries, set up 2 tries, and it's just holy shit, yes, you captained him. And then there was this week where Cameron Murray just exploded out of the blocks, set up 3 tries in the first 30 minutes. He was on 96 after 31 minutes. Now look back, after 63 minutes, he was on 103. It's like, what the fuck?
Do what he has to do
early. No, but just defense and hit ups alone, surely you can get more than 7 points in 30 minutes from Cameron Murray. Like, I was a bit disappointed in that. So,
happens a lot, though, doesn't it?
It does. Like, KP's a good one.
Yeah.
They can just bang, bang, bang. Latrell, another one. The other week, he was on not much, and then I can't remember who they were playing, but they just went to shit. And the South just tore them apart down the left-hand side, and the Shells just throwing passes for fun. One of them shouldn't have been a try assist, should have been a try assist, Jed Cartwright, but Supercoach, we're just riding a wave of the month there with Latrell, just
doing a slot.
Run your Supercoach, your Muppets.
But they're the guys you want to captain. So, like, especially if you're, especially this week, like, if you're up against your head-to-head opponent.
Well, and okay, so Munster, is he a viable captain option this week against the Panthers?
For me, he's a VC. If you're gonna VC, but I wouldn't captain any old VC anyone.
I wouldn't
game.
Be throwing a C anywhere against BCC, anywhere against Penrith. They're too good, man.
Teddy, a captain option this week?
Who they play again?
I think they're playing.
They play in. Someone half decent, I think. So
Cowboys. He's been playing the Cowboys.
Yeah. So, yeah, I
wouldn't do that either.
But there's a lot of players this week that have got tough matchups. So.
Trell against Para. Gutho against Trell.
See, well, that's it. Parramatta's a fickle bitch.
Yeah, which Parramatta's
Dylan Brown against Cody Walker.
Well, you don't even know which Parramatta's going to turn up within the first 20 to the second 20, let alone within the first 40 and the second 40, let alone within that week to next week. Like,
that's the game they're bringing. They got everyone fucking confused.
Well, they're just like Bulldog supporters. Fickle as fuck.
Go away. We're great. But, yeah, all right.
Well, no, I'm really curious. Like, it's one of the other topics that we had on our list of stuff to talk about anyways. Who are the viable captain options this week?
That's the question Hines. Here from Nick Kuhn. Tough matchup this week. Captain Hines, but not sure on who he should throw the VC on. Now, for me, if you need the pod, and everyone's going to be going Nicho Hynes. Is Nicho Hynes the solidified guy this week? Is there someone else out there?
That's why I mentioned earlier about the.
Yeah, you got a wild one.
If you got a strong squad, maybe you can justify Bison Nicho. And if he goes big, then bang, throw a loop on him because your auto emergency is strong anyway.
Yeah,
doesn't
matter.
Yeah. It just depends on if there's a.
It's not really a viable matchup after it, really.
Well, I think Garrick against the Titans, or Olakau'atu or something against the Titans, Cherry even against the Titans is
juicy.
A pretty good matchup. Even
have the Titans put the queue in the rack for the year, you think? They've give up.
Oh, they took the queue out of the rack this week? Yeah?
No, but like, have they give up?
They've been horrible all year, bro. They haven't played decent football since round two.
Yeah.
Like, they've been the disappointment of the season. Everyone was expecting top 8 at least for the Titans with what they did, but
yeah,
she comes back to show you sell.
You can't buy
a quality halfback.
Can't buy experience.
You can't buy a halfback, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they sold Fogarty, put all their chips on Toby Sexton's basket, and that basket just happened to have a weak bottom and it fell through.
So Nico's pretty much the viable guy. You reckon Ezra Mann for a VC?
No, Ezra plays after.
Oh, yeah.
I think Nicho is obviously the captain choice.
Yeah. No one else out there? Not a potty out there for anyone?
I'm going Garrick.
You're
going
to go Garrick.
If everyone wants to jump on with me against Titans, I'm vice captain Nicho with my strong bench. If he goes 150 plus, bang, loop him.
Yeah.
No.
No harm.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah, that's it. And if he goes 57,
Let's go Garrick for a triple. All right. So I think that's about all the Supercoach. What do you got on the liveys over there, Louis? We'll do the liveys. Now I'm going to go touch on the We Got a Dog.
Sean O'Vader says he's keeping Cotter as his pod. Play might be useful in 2 weeks. Made the Cowboys look a lot better when he came on versus our Dogs.
Bro, play him this week. He's a gun. I'm playing him this week. Glad I sort of hung on.
Yeah, well, I've hung on like you. Hadn't played him for the last 2 weeks, but he come on after 22 and a half minutes or something on the weekend. Played out the rest of the game. Had a good, decent PPM. And I'm thinking he's playing 70 plus, if not 80 this week. Pre-origin, pre-injury, minutes, form. Put him in your side, just bank him in, bro.
Yeah, he's solid.
Ride him.
Solid as a rock.
Queenslander!
Mallet.
And that's it for me.
That's it for the live.
That's it, yeah.
All right, cool. All right, the Weak Gutted Dog. Where are we going? Who wants to start with the Weak Gutted Dog? Was it a low blow from Ricky? Is it a brain snap from Ricky? Like, what do you reckon? I'll say more, a bit last.
It was all of the above.
Yeah.
But from watching the NRL shows and interviews and everything in between now and then, and going off the punishment that the NRL gave Ricky, I'm just assuming that Ricky was highly justified in what he said. He absolutely said it in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he never, ever, ever should have done that. And nobody can justify that, no matter the situation. You can't just absolutely grill some young kid's life in front of millions of people. That's just absolutely not on. I don't care. We come down so hard on social media bullying. This is just straight out bullying in the media.
It's massive.
I'm still taken aback from it. Even though it was 5 days ago, and because I've never ever seen anything like this.
Oh, I don't even ever see it again.
Well, even when I've seen the most hated players play against each other in Origin time, they've never ever said anything to this extent or this drastic. Like, this is,
let alone a coach,
like right out there. It's crazy, but for him to say it, and for the people that actually know the truth to be 100% behind him and be justified of it, I can only read between the lines and assume that Semmons attacked Ricky's autistic daughter throughout her primary school years, and the son to a certain extent as well, up to the age of 12. I don't know of any basis for that. Absolutely not accusing anyone of anything. But
massive assumption.
I just think with the NRL coming down with just a 1 week $25,000 fine, with them knowing the full extent of the story and everything that's going on, I think they've taken that into consideration. And if it wasn't to a certain extremity of the situation, the private life situation, Ricky probably wouldn't coach again this season.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just a king hit my son in rugby league, junior football, or whatever, earlier on in life, I don't think that'd fly. Yeah. I think Ricky wouldn't coach again this season, even if that was the case.
Yeah.
I think it has to be a deeper, more serious situation where,
well, for me,
it's been 12 years and Ricky's still fucking human.
Yeah, that's the fucking drama. That's the drama. It's been 12 years and he's personally attacked this kid at a level which is, you know what? You can't do that in a workplace anymore, anywhere. Like, you can't go to work and just, you can't say that to anyone anymore. You'd be sacked. Like, it's just, it's one of them things. Well, wouldn't matter the circumstance.
Sorry, more to the point, like, I'd never, ever do what Ricky did here, but he came out and defended the grub, Hudson Young, that situation. So for him to come out and defend him, I personally think Ricky's a man of integrity. and he stands for something. So for him to come out and defend him, and then for him to throw old mate under the bus so easily, shit's gone down.
Well, the other thing is, like, that's a mental health thing too. Like, people might not realise this, but as soon as he's seen this kid lash out on the football field, he got in and he got stuck in. Like, that's something that,
PTSD.
You know, he should have let go of and dealt
with. But PTSD, bro, like, it can affect everyone in certain ways and at certain times. Like, it's an uncontrollable thing. I'm not saying that's a defence at all.
No, I don't think we'll ever see anything like it. I don't think we'll ever see it again in footy, but
never.
Yeah. So for me, if they want to curve that, or you go, or if they want to curve that, for me, the NRL needs to say, well, right, this is, granted, this was an unprecedented thing, but they need to get every future coach and current coach and anyone and just sit them down and say, right, next time anything like this happens, we're stripping your team of competition points. The fines are going to be at least 5 times the amount of Ricky Stewart's one.
Oh, the punishment was an absolute joke.
It just that, for me, man, like, you know what? If someone, you got to think, right? If someone was to say that about Reggie after shit that had happened when he was a kid who hadn't learnt, you know what? When you're 12 years old, I hate to break to you, your brain's only so equipped. You know, you're not... Men aren't really equipped with their brains till 25, they say. Like, we still fucking la-di-da until we're then. But you know what I mean? So, when you're a kid, a lot happens when you're a kid. I can attest to that. I was a bit of a pain-in-the-ass kid. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't hang out with 21-year-old me. I was a fuckwit.
And still got hemorrhoids from you as a kid. You're that much of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know, bro. Like, I wouldn't hang out. I wouldn't want 10-year-old me as a kid either. I'll flog it. But, you know, so he's just got an issue there. He's got to fix it, I think. The comment of the day, I think, was a couple of hours later, Jamin Salmon come out and said, I understand Ricky's furious and shit because he's got to turn up at work every day, coach a shit team capital city, you know? That's funny, you know, good on him.
Like we said at one point, yeah, that's funny and shit, but at the same point, it just shows the arrogance of the piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a bit of a fuckwit at the same time, you know? Because it's something we'd probably say. You've got a say on it, boys? Anyone want to have a say on the Ricky thing?
Judge's got a say on it.
Nothing's happened against the Panthers. I don't know.
Nothing will happen against
the
Panthers.
If it is something personal...
It is. It's 100% personal.
Then my only concern is that, you know, this may prove a distraction for the club. Wrong time of year for that. No one likes that.
What? Why doesn't Georgie Rose just jump in and say an MMA fight at the end of the year, boys? Ricky and Jamin.
Probably will.
No gloves. Let's fucking do it.
Watch a 23-year-old beat the shit out of a 50-year-old.
I'd be putting my money on Ricky personally. Yeah, Ricky'd bite his ear off. Ricky wouldn't care. He'd go to all depths.
Go stick. all right, well, you got a say on it, Louis? You got a say on it?
My thoughts have already been said by you guys. I think it was wrong to come out and do it publicly in that way. But, I mean, obviously, from Ricky's point of view, there's obviously something serious that's gone on that, you know, has made you hold this personal vendetta against him for so many, X amount of years. Obviously, whatever happened is serious, and there must be some justification behind it, definitely.
See, the thing is for me, right, is now this is all people are talking about, right? Like, and it's the wrong time of year for the Panthers. It takes a lot of heat off the Raiders. I mean, it puts a lot on Ricky. No one's talking about the Raiders team. No one's talking about the fact they lost the game the other night. You know, look.
Because they more than a game was lost that night, bro. The self-respect of a 10 or 12 year coach now. He's about to coach his 500th game.
I don't think he's lost his self-respect at all.
He did a little bit, bro. He took his personal life and aired it out for the whole world to see, and now he has no choice but to give explanations. And what now? he's got to dig up the past of 12 years old when Jamin Salmon was a fucking 12-year-old kid who's, let's face it, probably a feeble fucking mind. It's probably not the greatest fucking mind anyone's ever seen. He hasn't killed cancer or anything.
So you justify Jamin Salmon kicking Starling in the nuts?
Oh, I feel it was accidental.
Yeah, I don't.
It was accidental.
I don't feel there was malice in it, man.
You kick Salmon.
I'm not talking about the right leg that was situated in between the legs the whole time. I'm talking about the left leg that come up towards the groin area and then clearly struck.
He's trying
out
to get him off him. The tackle's then clearly complete. Get off him. But the Raiders weren't doing that. The Raiders were climbing over him all night. And like that's it. They're trying
so
to get a fast play the ball.
Fact to kick someone?
But, no, like I said, it was accidental, man.
Pepper's goggles are on fucking hard.
Nah, 100%. They're climbing over him.
Well, he got reported for the incident, so there must have been something in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't kick people in. Yeah,
no, well, that's it.
He's made contact. Let alone there.
He's made contact.
Josh Reynolds changed all that, bro. You can trip.
That's
trip. You can lash out.
That's totally different apples and oranges.
Yeah. Anyone else going to Ricky, or are we moving along to head clashes and no justice for Dale?
Justice for anyone.
You go. It's your.
No, you go, bud.
The brutalest fucking head knock of the weekend. Victor Radley's, if you missed it.
Which one?
The one where
first
you could
one, the second one, or the third one?
The one where you could see his heartbeat. Oh, like, see, literally the blood pouring out of his head in pulses. You knew how fast Victor's heart were beating if you could count, bro.
So not the second one when he had the strapping on and had the same contact and it was pitching out through underneath the strapping.
No,
or the
one.
Third one later on in the game where he come into contact with a lower body and then had blood coming out of the same injury again.
At that point, there was so much just like blood loss that it was all moving around a bit more. You could hit him in the arm and just the liquid, which
like a rag doll.
He was running on green
like a broken water bottle.
Time, bro. He was fucking.
Yeah, that first one, but like I said to you before, I've never seen so much blood gushing from
a dude's head.
Liters of blood.
Clay Goiter. After 5 rounds, it's close. You should come do it.
People at the Red Cross would be so pissed. They'd be like, what a waste.
It's been sports science. They can't use it.
For that to be, for Victor to be in that situation, obviously someone's gone in there with some kind of intent and there's been a head clash somewhere throughout the series of events
and
Victor's come out with that.
Same thing as...
Why... Is there not even a fine or a mention or anything? But Dale gets 2 weeks for
the same
Stephen Crichton's ear.
For tackling too fast.
Who was attacking?
Who
was attacking? Who was defending?
Victor was defending.
And he's run out of the line, made contact, hit the head, and hasn't been placed on report.
No, Victor had the ball in hand.
Did he?
Yeah, Victor had the ball in hand.
There you go. There's your dip. So, who was he?
So, why is it a difference? Whoever tackled him should have been punished.
I can't remember off the top of my head who hit him.
Victor
had the ball in hand.
No, yeah, you're right. I think us. No.
Because the thing with Finucane was the driving force out of the line.
It was
and
the
then
intent
direct
that he came out of the line with.
And then the direct contact with the head is a result of that intent. Whereas if Victor ran into a head knock, then that's it. It shouldn't. I wasn't really paying attention until I noticed Victor on the ground.
You tell me, because Victor ran into old mate, did old mate not have intentions to go in there?
Jake Turpin bolted
out of the line and then didn't execute the tackle motion.
That's your fucking job.
Right? Wait. But he didn't execute the tackle motion. The first contact was head to head. You don't tackle with your head.
Jake Turpin didn't rush out of the line and first contact was head to head and Victor was bleeding profusely.
Yeah, but if he's holding his ground, then that's fine.
Why?
Because he's holding his ground. Victor's the one that would have had to lower down to Turpin's head height as it is. I'm gonna have to see a replay of this now. You guys have gotten onto a tangent. I hope you got something else to talk about while I look it up.
I do.
There's nothing to talk about. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Dale was suspended two weeks ago.
And then we have this next one, talking point, just footy again. Tariq Sims should have got fucking sent off.
Yeah, well, that was pretty monster.
I think that's a unanimous one, that one.
Like, I couldn't believe that he stayed on the park. Honestly.
He couldn't believe that he...
Nah.
Nah. And he got 10.
Nah. He went home and bought Lotto.
I think everybody except for the bunker was expecting a send off right there.
Yeah, it was insane, eh?
I just,
you don't know, you just can't pick it, man. Like, in all honesty.
Well, you look back a week ago where Rabbitohs and Sharks were in that Golden Point game. It was extra time. Tom Burgess come running across and hit old mate's shoulder and then slightly glanced him over the head. And he got sent straight off. No ifs, buts, maybes.
Yeah.
Tariq Sim comes in, whacks old mate square with his forearm elbow kind of region.
The heart.
Knocks him the shit out. Yeah. Gets stretched off. Oh, 10 minutes. What? How?
And the thing was, he didn't get stretched off because he was injured. He got stretched off because no one could talk to him to find out what injury was wrong with him.
Because he was sleeping.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, here's a bloke that's just been put to sleep by another man on a football field. Something no one wants to see. Like, don't get wrong. We like it. Well,
no, we don't like that.
Oh, we like the physicality of
the sport. We like the physicality. We like Sonny Bill whacking people in the chest and dominating them and... But I don't want Tariq Sims whacking old mate in the chest, and I don't want big fucking Nels last week coming in and fucking just giving a big cheap elbow to fucking Wade Egan or whoever it was. I can't remember who it was. Mitch Kenny.
Yeah.
Maybe. And, like, it's... Be tough. But be mean about being tough. Don't be fucking cheap and fucking grubby like that. Like, especially when you're Nels, you're fucking seven foot fucking tall... Almost 200 kilos, and you want to fucking chop your elbows into an 80 kilo fella, like.
Yeah.
I just wish Nels played back in the day, and he did that to a Joey or an Alfie or something, and Gordy or Chief or Spud fucking got a hold of him and...
Glory day,
knocked mate. His teeth down his fucking jaw.
Be good. Yeah, how'd you go on your,
Yeah, Turpin was just standing in the line where he's allowed to defend. He's just so much shorter than Victor. As Victor came down to charge, he's gone through him. But he's the attacking player. He's got every right to do that. Turpin's got every right to defend. What they're saying is, with the Finucane example, is Finucane doesn't have every right as the defending team to act like an attacking player and make direct contact head-to-head. Because if that person isn't... Well, no, he was carrying the ball when he got hit.
So Turpin and Victor Raley didn't make direct contact before a shoulder or an arm was engaged?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's the intent out of the line.
Why should that make a difference?
Because he literally charges out of the line as if he's trying to make a line break, but he's the defending team. And if that results in an HIA for another player or an injury for another player in the attacking team, then that's right. A foul play, really.
So if old mate charges onto the ball and then headbutts or hips old mate in the head.
If he had attempted a steal... And he'd just been watching hands and eyes on the ball when the head contact
fucking
was made.
He
might have had an argument.
Oh, mate, trying to smash him. He head clashed. There was no legal contact with shoulders, arms, torsos, whatever.
No, but that's what they're saying. Direct contact head to head isn't allowed like that. You've got to adjust your tackle technique and be attempting a tackle
at
that point.
But what I'm saying is, it's never ever been punished before that.
Well, that's how they set precedence, Con.
But
that's how this works.
Don't you say, all right, this is an example they of what
get
we're
head
not
injuries.
Going to accept from now on?
Yes.
You don't just say, out of the blue, hey, boom, we got you 3 weeks, buddy. For what? For something that we're just going to make up right now.
That's how most rules are made and start, you know what I mean?
Rules
like,
shouldn't be changed.
No, well, when you see things that you want to get out of the game, right, then they find ways to get him out of the game.
I'm all saying
currently, there is people calling for any form of your favorite person on the planet, Joey Johns, is calling for 10 to 12 weeks for hip drops to get him out of the game.
I 100% agree with what you're saying. I agree with the hip drops. 100% grab axe.
But that's what I mean. Like, there's a way to get things that you don't want out of the game, and the NRL saw that, and they said, you know what, we don't want this in the game, and that's why they did that to Finucane. Turpin was just standing his ground in the line like a normal defender. It's a different thing. We get it. People shoot out of the line and make snapping hits on people.
Every single week.
Every single week in all sorts of games.
About 10 times a game.
But you know what they don't do? They don't make direct contact head-to-head when they do that. You've got to go down for a low tackle. Because that's what they're saying. If you make direct contact with the head out of that,
they
see that as incredible intent for
I'll challenge
the head.
Anyone to go through this whole weekend of football right now and show me that there is not one person who rushes out of a defensive line and first contact, like Dale Finucane, is not with the head. It's with the chest area and then the head come into it. And you can, if you can show me a whole round of football where not one person rushes out and there is not any resemblance of any head contact at all, I'll bow down and say, yep, you're 100% right. But you can go back through the last 30 fucking 120 years, 114 years of rugby league, and in every single game, there is incidental head contact from someone rushing out of the line trying to effect a tackle. And it's never, ever been punished. Ever. I get it. To take that and say, look, if this shit happens again, you're copping it. But to just come out and say to Dale Finucane right there and then where nobody's ever been punished for it, look, you've been punished for a head clash 2 weeks. I think that's unfair.
Remember Magic Round? Remember that Magic Round?
Everyone knows. You make contact with the head, you're getting punished. Just because the NRL
really
was lax.
It got sprung on them, you know,
no,
what, 8 weeks into the season?
No, they got an email four weeks before Magic Round. They called their bluff. And the NRL fucking didn't buckle until about 3 or 4 weeks after Magic Round. And then they finally buckled. That's the problem, but they buckle. Fucking stand behind yourself. Punish these fuckers, like you said, Joey. 12 weeks. If you're hip dropping or you're doing grubby shit, smash the fuckers.
Speaking of grubby shit, the Melbourne Storm. Let's just quickly, I'm curious for Gregory's take on Brandy coming out and saying that the Storm...
He's clearly drunk.
What?
Nah. Okay.
Yeah, with the Storm, the ones who've introduced all the gnarly tackles in the last 20 years. They brought wrestling into the game. I mean, I know it's not an original thought, but he came out and straight out said it.
Well, like I said, he thought it was a general consensus, and it pretty much is.
No one just said it.
I just don't know if anybody's actually gone back and truly gone in depth and investigated where the first charges stemmed from, where these first incidents actually occurred, what team did it. Like, until they come back and show me that the Storm did the first three charges or whatever in each one of these chicken wing grapple tackles, fucking hammer wings, fucking whatever.
Well, Cannonball belongs to Isaac. Like,
no. But, yeah, until someone come back and conclusively say that there's three prime examples for any other team did it, or there's three prime examples before Melbourne did it, it's all conjecture and hearsay, really. It's common knowledge, but it's common knowledge because everyone just says, oh, yeah, Melbourne did it, Melbourne did it, Melbourne did it. Melbourne
or did someone else do it and Melbourne just
that's
got the
I mean.
Best at it?
Well, that's it. Yeah, they exactly. Quick that's fucking it. Learners, it's sort of Melbourne. Always done on the sly and
no,
Melbourne
I think,
just
I think
figured
you'll
out
find,
how to do it.
I think you'll find, look, that's they it. Might have had a hand in one or two, but other clubs might have done something and Melbourne seen it and gone, right, we can better that.
That's it. Did Melbourne just do it better than everyone else? And then it's like, hey, shit.
Let's
draw attention to this. Well, I don't know. I don't have conclusive proof either way. I don't think anybody really has conclusive proof either way.
No, look at their, you know what, their club's good, mate. They got a secrecy thing. Like, they're...
But that's what I mean. Like, unless you can come out with judiciary records that show the first three chicken wings, or the first three gap tackles, or the first three crushes, or the first three squirrel grabs, or whatever, were from the Storm, or were not from the Storm, you can't conclusively prove that they introduced it or they didn't.
Yeah, they were just good at shit.
They just bettered it. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, they start doing it, other teams start trying to copy them.
Possibly.
And then they got penalised because they weren't as good at it.
Possibly. They did have the best referee jiu-jitsu captain in the game.
And they had wrestling coaches long before anyone else. Like,
yeah.
Cameron Smith, bro. He could manipulate the ruck, manipulate the ref, manipulate the other team. You know, he's like, hey, you don't want to kick for touch. And I'm like, yeah, we didn't want to kick for touch. But they really did want to kick for touch. Alrighty. Cool. All right. Is that us sorted?
I think so. We got any more questions or anything there? Nah, sweet ass. Well, thanks for listening. Good luck in your head-to-heads if you're still in the game. And if not and you're still listening, cheers.
Right as it comes, guys. Don't rush into anything. Just strategically think out your trades throughout the weekend and rock on with your socks on. Yeah. Be careful.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.